I'm going to invite you, please, to take your hymnals. Turn to 93. We'll sing Christmas, Alleluia, Amen, the first, the second, and the last verses of Song 93. Stand with me, please, when you found your place. Please remain standing as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and just for the opportunity and privilege it is to come into your house and sing these songs. We think of the song that we just sung, Lord, Alleluia, Amen. Just praising you for the incarnation of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, for this time of year that we can set aside and just dwell on those things. It says goodness of Christ review in that song. And Lord, we just want to thank you for how you loved this world so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He lived that perfect life, and Lord, he took all of our sorrows, all of our sins upon him. And there are people that aren't with us this time of year. Sometimes it's a sensitive time of year for people. Lord, as maybe there were loved ones that were lost throughout the year, and some that we weren't able to be with, perhaps, to celebrate this Christmas time. Lord, you know all those sorrows. You took them on yourself when you took on the incarnation. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your love, and your mercy in our lives. And we just pray that, Lord, during this special time, we would just give you special thanks for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the privilege it is to come into your house and worship you. And Lord, as we look forward to the message this morning, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive what your word has in store for us this morning. Be with our Pastor Watt as he preaches. And Lord, we ask that you would, again, just speak to each one of our hearts. And if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, what a wonderful time of year it is, Lord, to understand the reason for your coming to earth. I pray that that soul would open their heart and receive you as Lord and Savior. Be with those that are traveling and not able to be with us this morning. Father, perhaps there are some that are sick, but there are many that are traveling. We think even of our pastor, Pastor Todd, and his family as they're traveling. Please keep your hedge of protection about them. And keep them safe. There will be other travelers coming in and leaving here in the next week or so. Lord, please just be with all those affairs. Help them all to go well. And Father, we just ask that you'd give us a good morning in your house. May you be glorified in all things. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, please turn to Song 83. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll sing the first, the third, and the last of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Song 83.
Joyful are ye nations, cry.
Take your hymnals with me one more time, please, and stand. Turn to song 107. We'll sing God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, the first and the last verses of 107. Again, stand with me, please, when you found your place.
Thank you, Mrs. Hafner. Appreciate that good number. I always enjoy hearing those stringed instruments that I can't even comprehend how to play, but I do enjoy that. I appreciate that beautiful number there. Well, this week is, we look forward to, at the end of the week, the New Year's, and I always try to preach at least some type of message related to the New Year. I preached a Christmas-type message last week, and so this week I wanted to talk about what do I want to call spiritual renewal? Spiritual renewal. You know, again, we talk a lot about New Year's resolutions. Nothing wrong with that. I've got several that I need to make. I need to eat less candy and chocolate and pie and all those good things. You know, we do those things. We make determinations. We set goals. There's nothing wrong with doing that. We need to have goals. We need to have vision, look into the future of different things. But sometimes in the busyness of our life and the things that we focus on and what we try to want to accomplish in our lives, we forget about maybe some spiritual goals. And there's, again, nothing wrong with setting those. Where do we want to be with the Lord? It's good to maybe, I tell the students this, I say, as you go throughout the school year, look in May and look back at where you were spiritually in August. Did you grow closer to the Lord? Are you now farther from the Lord? You know, that would be a sad thing. Have you rejected salvation or have you accepted the Lord? Are you growing in Him? Are you learning more about God's Word? Are there some goals that we're trying to establish for ourselves spiritually where we can draw closer to the Lord? And I wanted to talk about a spiritual renewal. And we'll look at a couple of words here and then several passages of Scripture. Hopefully you can follow along here because I know I speak very quickly and I'll try to slow down. There's two different words in the New Testament for the word new. You know, we all like things that are new, don't we? You get something that's brand new, never been used. Maybe it's a gun. I like guns. And it's never been fired before. And you're the first one to fire that gun. And some of them have like these break-in things. And I had a shotgun that I was shooting for the first time. And, you know, ammo is really hard to come by these days. So I had some really old, cheap ammo. And you know what it did? It kept jamming. You know, so you get your brand new gun and you're out there and it, you know, shell gets stuck. Well, you had to get rid of the old junky ammo, put the new stuff in, and wow, it worked great. It's amazing. That's trying to be cheap, I guess. But, you know, we all like new things, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've never personally, maybe one day I will, I don't know, I've never personally owned a brand new car. I don't know what it's like to drive a car off the lot that has, you know, 0.5 miles or 1 mile or something that's on the showroom floor. Ryan, you know, he sees that Honda Accord Sport and says, you know, that's the one for me. You know, and you pull it right off, it's got maybe 1 mile on it. Boy, that is neat. It has that new car smell, all those wonderful things. You know, for me, I have just old 1996 Ford Ranger, just a beautiful thing. Well, it doesn't have that new car smell anymore at all. I don't know what it has, but it is not that. But, you know, we like new things. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's also the difference between having something brand new or having something that's been maybe refurbished or renewed. Maybe you can get a deal on something. Oh, this is, you see those advertisements, you know, we can buy this brand new Apple whatever or computer or something. It says refurbished, which means some guy sitting somewhere in a thing probably opened it, wiped it off with a cloth, closed it, put it in the box, and said it's refurbished, right? No, we hope they went through it and changed things out or maybe updated it. That's kind of the two different words for new. Well, one is the word neos in the Greek, and it means new in time. We see that word even in English, something as neo. You know, you hear it even in religious circles, neo-fundamentalism or neo-evangelicalism. It's something that is new in time, something that is new. It's even used in the Bible in the sense of youth, as someone that was born at a different time than somebody else in a way of an age comparison. Or we think about the new man in the Bible, in salvation, where it's new in time that we didn't have this during the time that we were without Christ. Versus something, and this is the word we're going to look at today, kainos in the Greek, something that is new in quality. You know, if you study science or anything like that, you know that there is the laws of thermodynamics, and one of them is the entropy, right? Things tend to disorder. If you don't believe that, then just go look at my back fence in my yard that I always talk about. I went through and I cleaned that thing off last summer. It was beautiful. Got all the weeds off, and I didn't spray Roundup on it. And what do you think happened? All that order went back to disorder. Now it's worse than it was before. This is terrible. Now I got to do all the work again, but I've already got my Roundup ready. This time I'm going to just pour it on by the gallon. But, you know, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, disorder. It just goes to disorder. And if you leave something alone, that's what's going to happen. I'm sure, Pop, if you just left your garden alone and never went out and weeded your plants and things, he wouldn't have all those great tomatoes and corn and whatever it is that Pop grows in his wonderful garden. It wouldn't be there if he just didn't do anything with it, if he just let it go to disorder. And that's the way our world goes to. Even in our spiritual life, if we do nothing, we will go to disorder, if that's the word you want to say. I think of that verse in Hebrews that says, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have learned, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, in the Greek, that's the idea of it just kind of drifts away slowly without you knowing. It's the idea of a boat being tied up to a dock. Or, you know, if Isaac took his boat out and put it in Blackwater River and then said, you know what, I'll just leave it here. I'm going to get in my truck and go park my truck. And he spends about 15 minutes, maybe 2 hours. He decides to go get something to eat while he's out. And he goes and he finally gets back and he's like, where's my boat? He didn't tie it up. What's going to happen? The waves are just going to make it drift. And that's the idea of that in the Greek. If we don't take the more earnest heed, if we don't work or pay attention to renew, to remodel, to move forward, then we aren't even going to realize it. We're just going to wake up one day spiritually and be like, where am I? I'm in the middle of the lake and I don't have any paddles. And I'm farther off. What happened? I've drifted spiritually. And if we're not careful, we will end up letting that disorder take over our lives. You know, the word kainos means to renew something or to make it fresh. Or even if you want to put it in the sense of the word remodel. Remodel. Our front offices here at the school. When it was first built in 1967, that front office was neos new. It was new in time. It had never existed before. And that, you know, the school opened and yay, wonderful. And then 55 years later, or however long it was, recent, the last 2 or 3 years, we totally remodeled that front office. You know, the mag locking doors and the nice countertops and big open areas and nice cabinets and places for people to work and just made it look nice and new and up to date. That is kainos. It's remodeled. It's fresh. It's new, but in the sense of the quality of it. And this is the way that we're going to look at this word here as we study a few verses in the New Testament. That we want to be renewed continually. Because if we don't, we will go to disorder. It's like putting a fresh coat of paint on something, right? Nothing looks better than a fresh coat of paint. You know, paint fades and yellows over time, and it's always sad that, you know, the painters, they always say the painters can never paint their own houses, right, Bob? My wife's been after me to paint the outside for about 6 years now, and every day I'll drive by and say, man, I really need to paint that boxing. Well, another time, we'll get to it. In a more convenient season. You know, I try to use the Bible verse, a more convenient. Chris says, one more season. Just one more season. We'll get out of it. We'll make it through. But it needs to be refreshed and renewed. And it's like, wow, look at that. It's nice and new and shiny and looks beautiful. And then the kids put their handprints on it and it's not beautiful. But, you know, we like to renew things. Well, spiritually, we better be at that task. And I want to look this morning at what spiritually fresh or renewed areas can we see in the New Testament? What are some things that we can apply to ourselves even as we come into this new year to say, Lord, these are the things that I would like to work on in my life. These are some areas that I need to be renewed constantly. It's not a one and done type thing. Well, Lord, I feel like I've read my Bible for a little bit for these 2 weeks. Now I just don't have to read it and mess. I don't have to do anything spiritual for another 6 months. You know, I'll be all right. I've stored up some stuff. Well, that's not the way it works because of that spiritual law of entropy, if you want to call it that. Let's look at some verses as we go into this new year. What are some areas that we can have a fresh spiritual outlook, to be renewed, to be remodeled in our Christian life as we continue on with the Lord. Let's begin with John chapter 13. Renewal of love for our brethren. These are some areas where this word kainos is used in the Greek, and I didn't pick all of them by any means, just a few that I think are applicable to what we were trying to do this morning. Chapter 13, verse 34. Now, this is the new commandment. This is in here where the Lord is literally talking about the one that Satan entered in dipping the sop at the table, and, you know, Judas leaves and all those kind of things, went out immediately, and it was night, and Judas goes out and basically betrays the Lord that night. But right after that, look what the Lord says. Let's go to verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you. That is the word renewed. We'll talk about that in a second. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, I look at that and I think, Lord, it's basically impossible. It seems impossible for us to love somebody like the Lord did. For Him to know the full and complete, utter, disgusting, disastrous nature that is in us as fallen humans and as sinful people. To see that utter state and that condition and to still die for us. No, that's the Lord's love. Very hard to comprehend. But as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Well, what is the new commandment? It's the same old commandment that was in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19, where the Lord, through Moses, said that it is time to love your neighbor as yourself. That was from the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, yes, but what is the new or the refreshed or the renewed vision of that is to love our brethren as Christ has loved. Go to 1 John. That's also here on the board. 1 John. John repeats this commandment that the Lord gave in chapter 2, verse number 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. This isn't anything new, but an old commandment, which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have had from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Look, he goes right into verse number 9. He that saith he's in the light hateth his brother, is in darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Loving the brethren, loving each other is something that we've got to renew constantly, don't we? It's easy to not love someone. It's easy to be upset at someone. It's very easy to let things bother you and rile you up and work you over and all those kind of things, and you end up getting hateful. But in our day and time and in the things that we live, we need to have a renewed love where, again, this is nothing new, but it is to have a fresh meaning for me as a believer that I ought to love my brethren the way Christ did. That agape love, that love that overlooks how rotten somebody is and truly loves that person. You know, our world emphasizes a selfish love. You love for what you can get out of things. And, you know, we could talk about love and marriage and all that, but, you know, I'm sure many of you that have been married a lot longer than I have, I'm only at the 20-year mark, right? Did I get that right? 20 in May, 20 years. Some of you are way up there into the years. Not that that's a bad thing or anything. It's a very honorable thing and an incredible thing. And you learn that, you know what? Yes, you overlook some things and you choose to love that person. Even when I'm acting like the way a foolish man acts, my wife, I think, still chooses to love me. Kind of hard to believe, but she does, I think, I hope, right? Okay, we're good. I think we're good, Mr. O'Pager. All right, but that's the way it is. I'm going to overlook this, and I'm going to demonstrate love. That's what God did for us. That's what Christ did. You mean you want me to come down here and die for these old rotten people? These people that hate me, these people that don't want anything to do with spiritual things, these people that by nature are in darkness, that love the darkness, but yet Christ died for us anyway. That is love. And that's what we need to be renewed in, even for people, for our brethren, even for those that are not saved. You know, it's very easy to auto-judge, and we're all guilty of it. Look at that. You know, and I'm guilty. Those are people that need Christ. Now, I'm not saying we love their sin or condone what they're doing, but they need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're to have a love for even people that we want them to know our Savior that loved us. Let's move on to Romans chapter 12. You know this verse. What else should we renew or remodel? Boy, this is a tough one. This is an ongoing battle that will go until the day that we die. Romans chapter 12. We know the passage. You all could quote it by heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed, how? By the renewing of your mind. The renewal of the mind. Boy, I tell the young people this a lot in chapel, that one of the greatest battlefields you will ever face as a human being is the battlefield of the mind. And I refer quite frequently to the young people to the verse, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it might be 2nd, or 5:10, anyway, that we are to cast down imaginations. That means I literally choose to wage a war or fight a battle against this thought that has come into my mind that is against God. Why do men act and do evil things? Because it's what's in their heart. It's what's in their mind. It is what dominates their thought processes and their thinking. And then it comes out. What you put in your mind is what will come out spiritually. Old evangelists used to say, garbage in, garbage out. It's that simple. And the battlefield of the mind is a very, very difficult battle. It is a battle where we have got to be renewed, remodeled in our thoughts. How we think. How we reason through things. You know, we like to reason through things. We like to justify things. How am I reasoning through and justifying? Or even, what about the spirit of my mind? My attitude. My attitude. Is it renewed in the things of the Lord? Is it a fresh view that aligns with what the Lord wants me to think about? You know, we need to cast down those imaginations, not set our mind on things, not even put our eyes or whatever on evil things, because it will affect our mind. You know, another old preacher used to say that every time we think a bad thought, it's like a deep furrow being dug into our brain. Like a big old, you know, one of those old steel plows just digging a furrow. It makes a difference. You may forget about that for a while. But something will happen in the future that will bring it back up. That will trigger it. And that thought will be there. Many times young people think, well, I can just go do what I want. I can live like I want. I can think what I want. I can say what I want. I can do whatever I want to do. It's not going to matter. And the furrows are being dug right in the mind. The Lord can overcome them. And by His grace, He's done it for every one of us in this room. But there's times where the old scar is there, isn't it? And that thought comes back. And what do we have to do? We have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, renew my mind. Renew my mind. Let's remodel. God doesn't want you to take your mind of self and flesh and doing what I want to do and sin and just bring it on into Christ and think everything's great. This whole come as you are, wonderful, it doesn't matter, God doesn't care. He wants you to renew your mind. If your mind is the same as it was in your life of sin, then it's not renewed. It's that simple. But God wants to, it may take some time, He wants to conform. That's what this whole verse is about in chapter 12 of Romans here. He wants you to change from what you are and be transformed into the image of Christ. And that takes a lifetime, doesn't it? And then when we're with the Lord, that's the pinnacle, isn't it? To be fully conformed to Christ. And He's working on you. He may be working on you right now. Don't resist the renewal process that God is trying to do in your mind. In your mind. The renewal of the mind. Let's go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I tried to do them in order so you could just flip right through the Bible, hopefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what about the renewal of the inward man? Our nature. You know, we have a human nature. Nothing wrong with that. We're human. We have will. We have intellect. We have emotions. We have desires. All those things are part of just being a human. And there's nothing wrong with that. But God wants to take all those desires that we have as humans, our will that we have as a human, our emotions that we have as a human, everything about our human nature, He wants to renew it. He wants to remodel it. Which means He may have to take this down. You know, some people love that stage. I wish Ben was here. Ben loves it when we talk about a remodel project at the school, him and Mr. Gower. They love that because that means they get to do what they do best. They go grab the sledgehammers and they just start tearing. They just start busting stuff up. Gabe, the graduate from our school, he worked with us one summer. We were remodeling the science lab and he went destructo mode. I said, Gabe, we need this gone. Yes, sir. I thought I was watching Ben-Hur, you know, with the ramming speed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he was just going at it. Some people love the teardown demo. We like the demolition things and explode and smash and tear it up. Then Mr. Whitney's got to go in there and go, good grief, they done tore this place to shreds. Now I got to put it back together. And then he leaves a few things, big cracks. He says, oh, the painter will get it. And that's me. You know, he always jokes with me about that. He'll just say, oh, it's a half inch short, Watt. Get the caulking gun. Yes, sir. You know, I call it trimming a tube. So I can make 2x4s out of caulk, I guess. But anyway, we got to tear stuff down, and then we got to build stuff back up. And that's what the Lord wants in our lives, our inward human nature. He may have to tear some stuff down that we don't like. Stuff that is precious to me. Well, that's the way I am. People have to deal with it. You know that God wants to change the way you are? He wants to, and it's hard for us because sometimes we are all that way. Well, that's just the way I am. I don't like that. And I'm not going to do it and you can't make me. What if God wants you to? Then He's got to tear something down and get that pride chipped away and then remodel. Put in something new. An inward man that is becoming conformed to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, let's start back in verse 14. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Boy, that's just wonderful. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Serving in the ministry, Paul said, it's hard. And I want to faint. And it's tough. And there's difficult times. But though our outward man perish. You ever been worn out? Been worn out. I'll tell you one thing, it has been, I don't mean this in any negative way whatsoever, but it has been very nice this past week not to hardly even step foot in that office. And I mean that in every nicest way possible. And Miss Eva, too, she's doing the silent clap, and I'm sure Caitlin is, too, when she, well, at least she was there till Wednesday. But, you know, it's been very nice. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I love serving here and doing that. But you know what? Sometimes you just get worn out, don't you? Your outward man is just like, can't do this anymore. I need to go sleep for 20 hours or something. And then you feel even worse, right? Why did I sleep in? I feel terrible. You know, your outward man is perishing. And you're like, oh, this is tough. And our outward man will get weaker. Yet, I love this. The inward man is renewed day by day. Every single day of serving the Lord, our inward man is renewed. And you know what? If we don't allow God, now listen. If we don't allow God to renew our inward man, then the weariness of the outward man will get us. Don't you think about that? And I know this is a real thing. People talk about burnout in the ministry and all that, and it's a real thing. You know, people just get worn out with it. You can overbear. You can do that. And just go. But I tell you what, you know how to avoid that? Lord, renew me today. Why am I here? Lord, renew me this very hour. What am I doing? And why am I doing it? What's my purpose in this life? You know, it seems that we live in a generation of just aimlessness. Aimlessness. You don't have a purpose. Well, I'm just going to go do this. I'm going to go to school for this. Okay, great. What are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Why? I don't know. What is your purpose? If you're a young Christian or an old, whatever you are, if you're a Christian and a believer, It should have a reason. Why am I doing this? What is the long-term goal for my life when it comes to the things of God? What's my purpose? Just to kind of work 9 to 5, go home and do it all over again the next day? Have my house and my car and all the things. That's what our world does. Nothing wrong with having things. Nothing wrong with it. What's our purpose, though? There better be a spiritual purpose, or the outward man, the weariness of the outward man, will take over when the inward man's not renewed. And you know, you think about all the things that Paul preaches in 1st and 2nd Corinthians especially, of how hard the ministry was. He goes on this long list of, I was, you know, imprisoned this many times and beat this many times and shipwrecked this many times and starved and stoned and all, whole list of things. I used to know that list. I had to memorize it for an exam in college 30 years ago, or what, however long ago that was. Not 30. I wasn't 10. 20 years ago. Long time ago. I don't remember. I don't memorize it all now, but I had it down then. He went through all of those things. Boy, wouldn't that get... Here's today. I ain't going through that. You can forget it. Walk away. That is the attitude that we find today. Because we're not renewing the inward man. Say, Lord, what do we expect? And I tell you what, I know what it's like. It gets to you sometimes. Working with young people's hard. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. It's disappointing, is I think the better word. It's disappointing. Every day, preaching in chapel, saying the same things, dealing with the same problems. And that kid's back again today, doing the exact same thing that me and his mom tried to get on him for and handle yesterday. And he's doing it again. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And the outward man is getting very, very weak. And the flesh is saying, I'm done with this. But the inward man needs to be renewed, remodeled. Why am I here? Is this really God's will or not? Because if it is, going to continue forward. And that's what Paul is saying here. Look at verse 17. This puts it in perspective, doesn't it? For our light affliction. You mean getting shipwrecked and beat to death and imprisoned and stoned and skin ripped out of your back with that whip and all? That was a light affliction? Which is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Now that's a perspective. Do we really believe that we're serving the Lord and that He's going to do this? And that it is for His glory and for Him? That's the renewing of the inner man, our light affliction. I'll tell you, people can get mad if they want to. We live in a soft culture. There's just no way around it. Any hardship, any difficulty, and sadly, many times, parents like to take that difficulty away. Oh, your kid needs to serve at attention. Well, okay. Let's just, you know, we got to defend everything. The kid's always right. They're teaching them to be soft. You know, I grew up watching war movies with my dad. My dad loves war. Maybe we'll watch some this week. I don't know. And he's probably watching Westerns or who knows what he's doing. He loves that old stuff, which is good. I like it too. And we used to watch war movies. And I just used to, as a kid, I just couldn't fathom it. Those boys that we would call today boys, 18, 19-year-old men, really. And that gate dropped at the beaches of Norman in that little boat, and you're dead. Standing there, knowing that when that gate drops, your chance of you dying is probably 90%. It drops, you're dead. Or your friends are dying around you. You jump in the water, you're getting shot. And now that's affliction. That's hardship. But today we're like, somebody sneezed. I'm not undermining all that. But I tell you, it's frightening. It's frightening. We can't handle an affliction. And at the first sign of hardship and trouble, I'm done. I don't like this. Too hard for me. Renew the inward man. and it'll take care of most of the problems. Christ is ready to do that, but we always resist it and fight it. We fight it. Light affliction when compared to what Christ did, and a light affliction compared to eternity. Let's move on. Ephesians chapter 4. We've got to go quickly. We'll get just a couple more of these in. The renewal of righteousness and holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. We know this. And be renewed. Now this is verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt. So instead of the old man, let's be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That actually, verse 23, is neos. A new spirit in your mind that you never had before. That you don't have as a sinner. And then, after that, verse 24, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, this is the renewal in righteousness and holiness. Boy, again, that holiness is a whole nother area, a whole nother ballgame to talk about. Where I am separated unto God. Now, again, we always look at the negative side of holiness. We say, well, I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I can't do that, and can't, and I better not know. No, that's not what it's about. It's a different perspective where I realize that God has saved me and pulled me out of a mess and separated me over here just for Himself. And since that's true, I don't want to go over here and live back. I'm adopted into God's family. He separated me for Himself. Why do I want to go running back to the world? Why should I go running back to sin? I'm separated. That's righteousness and true holiness. Where we're separated unto God. And sometimes we need to be renewed in our understanding of holiness. That I am consecrated and set apart to God and for His service. Quickly, Colossians chapter 3. Flip a few pages over. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 10. Go past Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. What about a renewal of our knowledge? He goes, verse 8, he's talking about what you put off. So we put off all these things, and now verse 10, have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. You know what we need at salvation and as Christians? Our perception of what is right, what is wrong, what is truth. All that has to do with knowledge. Our perception of that has got to be different. It's got to be remodeled. Truth isn't what I want it to be. That's the way our world lives. If they even talk about truth, they don't really talk about right and wrong. They just talk about what I want and what feels good to me. Subjective opinions of what's true and what's not true. And people say, well, I believe blah, blah, blah. And IMO, is that, that's the texting lingo. In my opinion, there's sometimes where our opinions, we equate our opinions with truth. And that's a problem. There's only one source of truth, and it existed before we were even born. It's outside of our world. It's separate from what we know. It already was in existence. It was the truth. It's objective. And I don't make it. I don't construct it based on my feelings. The Lord, through His Holy Spirit, illuminates me to be able to find it and to understand it and to put it into my life and to live by it. Now, that's a renewal of knowledge. And it comes by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'd be renewed in the knowledge after the image of Christ. There's the source of truth. It's objective. It cannot be changed. It's out there. It already exists. It can't be changed. Can't be manipulated. Can't be what I want it to be, but it's there. And I turn to the truth. And we allow the truth to change us instead of thinking that we can change the truth. Then our last verse, Titus chapter 3. Trying to keep you on your toes here with a finger turning. Last couple of messages. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. So go right on through to 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then to Titus chapter 3. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, and then verse number 5, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know what remodels us? If you want to put that word there. You know what refreshes and makes new our spiritual lives? It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not us. It's the power of God's Spirit that comes in, and we need to live in His power every day. The renewing of the Holy Ghost is a practical view of how should I live. I should live according to the Holy Ghost. And, you know, the question, people, the pastor said this quite often. Question is, if you know, whether or not I have the Holy Ghost. We have Him. He was given to us. The question is, does He have enough of me? Have I surrendered to the Holy Ghost? Am I allowing Him to remodel me? Am I allowing Him to renew me and reconstruct what I am and tear down and rebuild? Or am I in my pride standing against it? I'm good enough. I've got this. We need to be taking a humble approach to what the Lord wants us to be. You know, let God do His work. Let God spiritually renew. Let Him conform you to the image of Christ. You know, how do we do that? Well, we have to make some choices. We have to choose what's in our mind, right? You know, the book of Revelation talks about several other kainoses, the new heaven and new earth, right? It talks about a new song, a renewed one, something different. It talks about the new name that we're going to have, a new home, new heaven and earth. All those things are what we have in the future. But right now, as I practically live my life, I need to be careful what my mind thinks on. I need to be careful what I do. I need to make choices that improve my spiritual life. You know, don't talk about wanting to be renewed if we're not willing to make changes. Now, I found this. I was showing my boys this. I'm very guilty in this because I don't do this enough. This is a little thing I saw. One of my friends is a pastor. He posted this. If you want to read the Bible in 2 years all the way through, all you have to do is read 6 minutes a day. Now, that's, again, perspective. Chris is laughing because he knows where I'm going with that. Chris, if he reads 6 minutes a day, it might be about 5 or 6 years, but he'll get there. No, just kidding, Chris. He's a good reader, especially when it reads aloud to him and Siri just tells him it's good. But if you just 6 minutes a day, that's nothing. You'll read the Bible in 2 years. If you do 12 minutes a day, 12 minutes for the average reader, that's you'll read the Bible in a year. 12 minutes. If you read it 25 minutes a day for an average reader, 6 months, you'll have read the Bible. 50 minutes, 3 months. 2.5 hours, you'll read the Bible in a month. If you do 2.5 hours a day, average reading time, you know, maybe a little more give and take here. But the notice down here, on average, users in the U.S. spend 2 hours and 3 minutes on social media every day and 4 hours watching videos per day. That's 6 hours of time. Boy, that kind of stabbed me in the heart. I don't know about you. It did me. And I can't do 25 minutes. I can't do 15 minutes for the Lord because I want to be renewed spiritually. I want to be remodeled. These are choices we have to make. There's choices. And I pray that the Lord will help us as we go into this new year. It's a fresh start, new opportunities. We don't know what's lying ahead. We have no idea. But we know that even though we go through affliction and our outward man gets weaker and weaker, we better be doing something practically through the power of the Holy Spirit to renew our inward man through God's Word, through prayer, and through living for the Lord. Father, just thank You for the time this morning in Your Word. Thank You for how pointed Your Word is. Lord, we're so short. We've fallen very, very short. We're guilty of not reading the Bible enough. We're guilty of thinking on the wrong things. We're guilty of resisting the renewing that You want to do in our heart. And so, Father, I ask that as we approach this new year, and even starting today, that, Lord, we would determine to spend time with the Lord. We would allow our mind and our hearts to absorb the things of God and to not just read just to read Your Word, but to read to understand. Your Holy Spirit will do that, and Your Word will not return void. Father, bless each one in our congregation. Again, bless those that are away and are traveling, and those that will be on the roads. Just return them safely and help us, Father, this year to be renewed in our mind, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Take your hymnals one more time, please. Turn to 131. Song 131. We'll sing Jesus Paid It All. Just the second verse. Stand with me, please, when you found your place. 131.
Father, we thank you this morning for our Savior, who is the ever-living one, and that, Lord, we can trust in His truth this morning. Father, help us to be wise in these days and discerning, and to be able to see how the devil works, how the falsehood of this world works, and may we be ever faithful in the truth. Lord, help us to be grounded in Your Word so that we can discern between these things. And Father, I thank you so much for this time together. We pray that as we go our separate ways, that you would bless each one that is here. And give us a good rest of the day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.